Lady did not come on. That's because we don't have them no more. But shout out to GloryGiftStore.com. They've been great to us for the 4 weeks, and we just had like a 4 week deal, and it's been great. And I appreciate them for being the first sponsor I've ever had on this show. But we're going to hop right back into it. We got Incarcerated Number 5, my brother Trey Gubbin. And man, he's just been walking us. Man, through this whole experience and what he's taken from it, and we've barely just began to scratch the surface on this thing because he was in there for quite a bit, but I think I see Trey popping up now. Let me go ahead and pull you on in. Trey, are you there?
Man, I'm here, my brother.
Praise God, man. Man, where did we leave off last time?
I don't even remember, man. We began to talk a little bit about, I remember hearing you say that you wanted to get into what the Lord did in ministry and some of the fruit that you saw. I think you ended on that note talking about that a little bit, man, and without us really getting into it. You said you wanted to get a little more into the system and maybe some things we hadn't talked about discussing that. And so,
yeah, it's funny because, like I said, if anybody's first time listening, me and Trey, we've been knowing each other since before we was born. Well, I've been knowing Trey since before he was born. So I was born first, so. But, you know, our parents was pregnant together. Our moms were pregnant together, and I just have to come out first. But, you know, this is a 31-year relationship, so, we pretty much know all about each other. People ask us all the time, are y'all brothers? And, yeah, we are brothers. Well, are y'all blood brothers? We're not quite sure yet, but that's a whole nother show.
For sure.
But I would say, you know, as far as spiritually speaking, you know, just we can just say as a Christian, I would say that not pridefully speaking, but I've probably been more of the bigger brother in our relationship as far as it's spiritually concerned. But Trey, when you got locked up, it was somewhere in there where it was like you just roomed right past me. I was like, yo, dude, that caught fire. And I was going through some things at the time, so, you know, I wasn't really feeling all that spiritual, you know. I needed the Lord, you know, and man, Trey, I'm talking about you was just in tune, praying for people to get healed, and you're feeling the power of God flowing through you. When did that start for you in prison?
Well, it didn't start in prison.
In jail.
It started in the county jail, and I guess I want to preface it with two things. First, I would agree that, man, Eric actually definitely has been more of a bigger brother than an equal in terms of spiritually, just because I believe that, man, you know, both of us were heavily influenced by Pastor Scales. He was a father in the faith to us, man, our pastor now, and he was much quicker, man, to really give himself over to this than I was. I was very interested in it, but I had so many desires that were, in a lot of ways, without even knowing it, they were in opposition to really walking with the Lord, you know, from a whole heart. I wasn't a bad person, and probably a lot of my might not have been able to tell, but yeah, I wasn't fully committed in the way that I believe Eric gave himself over, just in terms of really being devoted to it. And so, man, I always have been able to look to him to see a little bit further than me, man, spiritually, with insight where things are concerned. And so, having said that, man, when I got in county jail, and I don't want to make it seem like that was just a one time where you just turned on and you stayed on, and I still had to fight, still had struggles, still had many thoughts and hard times and lots of hard emotions. But what happened for me is there was a point where I remember, man, I did not even want peace from God in county jail. I didn't want anything to get out. I remember my wife telling me, man, I didn't want peace from God. I really didn't, man.
I remember that.
Peace, his joy. I didn't want none of that.
Matter of fact,
it was offensive to me. I would say, well, you come to jail and have peace then. Tell me to have peace, and you're going to go out to eating something. I'm going to go back and get on this bunk.
Peace. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it would almost make me upset because, man, I was so in my feelings. I wanted to get out so badly, man. And so, man, what happened was, you know, I remember getting this word, man, that my wife, actually, I have to give her credit, man. This is during a period of time where she really got in there with the Lord. And
Hold on. What did you just say? You had to give your wife?
I have to give my wife credit, man. I really do have to give her credit.
I have never heard you say those words before.
Oh, man, see, he's being silly.
God is real.
No, he's playing. I have said that before. Maybe not much. And for a reason, you know what I mean? But no, I have to give her credit, man, because during this time, man, I think, you know, crises and trauma like what we had come and do one of two things pretty swiftly. You don't really get to stay on any type of plateau. You either get real, real, real far away from the Lord in terms of turning to your emotions, running to something that's not God, whether it be a drug, depression, something, or you get real, real close to the Lord. You know, you're going to latch a hold to something. You're going to go one way or another very definitely. And during this period of time, she went towards the Lord. And I remember her going to church, and she came. I called her afterwards, and she told me, and it was so the Lord, because she told me that the Lord spoke to me in service today and told me to tell you something. And I could tell by the way she said it, she was hesitant. And she admitted to me later I was hesitant to tell you because I felt like it was going to discourage you. And she said, the Lord told me to tell you that to stop fighting him because he wants you to have peace. And I was fighting him. Anything about peace, I didn't want to have it. I wanted to be on that page of kind of having anxiety and being all about getting out and having my whole mood based on how I felt about the prospects of getting out, whether any four emotions happened. I didn't want to get in anything that even felt like complacency with being there because people had all kind of advice. You know, you need to get a routine. You need to do this, that, and the other. I didn't want to do none of that. I don't need a routine. I'm not going to be here long. What are you talking about? I don't need none of that. So, you know, I was fighting the Lord. And inside, I could sense that the Lord wanted to get me settled and wanted me to read. And I had shared sporadically with people just very, very little. Because, like I said, in county jail, there's something that, you know, that they call jailhouse religion. Lots of people go to jail, or, you know, and get spiritual all of a sudden, you know. Because, like I said, you try to latch hold to something. People need hope right then. So, you know, there's a lot of spirituality that's not really genuine from people. And so there's always something going on in terms of some prayer group or somebody praying at night. So, you know, there would be little times for me to share a little bit here and there. And so I could sense the Lord really wanting me to get settled where I could do more of that with those opportunities. But I fought it. I just stayed more on the practical side of getting out. And when she spoke that to me, man, it just really confronted that verbally. It made me hear it. I'd never heard it before. You know, I might have sensed it on the inside and knew that I really wasn't going the right direction with the Lord. But I just didn't hear it. But when I heard that, it made me confront it. And from that period on, I began to, I had to get honest with the Lord. I ended up having to repent and tell the Lord I was sorry because something's wrong with you. You don't want his peace. And you're not on the same page with the Lord. And so I had to get honest and have him help me. And that was when it began to turn around, when I began to spend more of my day reading the Word just to get settled myself first. I was reading the Word really just to get pumped up, to have faith, to get out, you know, to believe God, to get out.
It wasn't any other purpose.
Yeah, I didn't read no scriptures. It wasn't about deliverance or chains being broken, miracles. I didn't read no love scriptures, no scriptures on peace, none of that. You know, and I'm laughing when I said I did have some like that, but even those were to the end of like my heart's goal. It was about getting out. And so this was the first time where I really began to read, to kind of get settled, to let the Lord really just minister to me, just comfort me, for him to tell me something and not for me to be telling him something that I wanted him to do, and using his word to do that. And so that's when it began to shift. And shortly after that, within a several-week period, I end up, just sharing a little bit with guys that were kind of around me that would see me reading or whatnot. And then eventually the Lord spoke to me and told me to, because they had a prayer. We had a prayer call every night. And the way this prayer call worked was, it was almost kind of by force. Like, there was a group of us in the party, and once we went on lockdown, everybody has to be on their bunk and all this kind of stuff. We would holler out prayer call and ask everybody to be quiet, do a quick little spiel that, you ain't got to say enough if you want to. And people just yell out certain scriptures and read out a scripture or say something they're thankful for. And then somebody would pray it out. It wasn't any ministry. It was just something, something to do as a prayer. And this happened in a lot of pods. Some it didn't happen in at all, and sometimes it would, just depending on who was there. And so that eventually got shut down because people went complaining, because this was like, you didn't get invited. This happened over the whole pod, and so that eventually got shut down. The guard shut that down. And the Lord spoke to me and told me to have a prayer call, or really a Bible study. He didn't call it prayer call. Have a Bible study at the end of the night before lockdown, where they couldn't shut it down, because this was something that nobody could say was being forced on them. I would just yell it out, and whoever wanted to come could come stand back here around my bunk and listen to what I had to say. And if they didn't, they could keep, playing cards, gambling, talk on the phone, watch TV or whatever. And so when he spoke to me to do that, that was the point at which it kind of began to take off. And that was a challenge, because I still didn't totally feel like doing it at the point. Many nights I didn't feel like doing it, because it wasn't one of the things that was necessarily invited. If I didn't yell it out, it wasn't going to happen. So it was, the onus was on me to make it happen. And when you don't a lot of times feel like there's a great pull for you to do that from people, then you don't really, right, you don't feel motivated to want to do it. And so it was a test for me to do that and be faithful to doing it every night. And
do you remember the first time you had to yell it out and get people to come?
Yeah, I do, man. I remember the first time, and it was it wasn't that hard the first time, actually, ironically, because man, I told several guys. I mean, Tim, and you remember P from County Jail, man. You see them in visit. I told them, man, the Lord said, I'm getting ready to start having, when they shut the thing down, the Lord spoke to me a little while after. I said, I'm getting ready to start having a prayer call, y'all, but it's going to be Bible stuff. I'm finna teach and share. And so they was like, cool. And so it was kind of us. And then, us three anyway were kind of, I don't want to say, not the nucleus of that pod, but we had been there longer than anybody else in county, in county jail. And so we had been there for a minute, by this point. Well, I guess I could say in this pod, it was towards the end where we had been there longer than anybody. Tim had already been there a long time. P had been there a long time. And I had been there several months, by this time. And so, I called it, and they were already gathered around, so it wasn't that hard the first time. It was some nights after that, man, where it felt, because even they didn't, they would just kind of wait for me to call it, but they were always going to be faithful and be there. There was a group of guys that were coming no matter what, and once I got to sharing and the Lord really got to moving, people began to kind of be stirred up and kind of be hungry for it and look forward to it a little bit more so than not. But it still was a challenge. Like I said, I didn't always feel like it. There was a lot of times, man, that I would just be down. I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about, still have many thoughts about wanting to get out, and, days are going by. To switch on and just, call a Bible study to go and share with people, I really have respect for made me really respect and understand, you know, ministers and pastors, man, that have to, that are expected to get up there, you know, on a certain time every day, every, you know, several times a week and share the word. Because, man, they don't always feel like it. You know, you're expected to get up. It's time to go to work, you know.
When you was getting into it and you maybe been going on, you know, maybe for some weeks or I don't know for how a long time, would it be like something would come along you to teach you? Because the way people describe it, especially Tim, he was like, man, when that anointing get on Trey, man, this is how he would talk to me. He said, man, I just hope Trey knows that, you know, how anointing he is. When he opened up that book and teaches, you know, he just, that word will flow out of him, man. And you know, I would just understand everything. He would just talk about you like it was a calling, you know, like it was something that came on you when
well,
you,
man, you know,
Bible started to teach.
I have to say, Eric, it was something that came on me, and I didn't really recognize it at first because, man, it wasn't, it was just sharing like one-on-one. But when I got in this setting where people were coming with an expectation every night that knowing that I was going to share, and when I began to share, man, what made me see it was that, man, I'm very, you know, if you were to ask me to share, if somebody were to ask me, you know, 2 years ago to do a Bible study, and somebody would just come to ask me to do that, I would have went and studied, come up with a formulated, you know, plan, some bullet points, some reference scriptures for each one of those, and I would have pretty much, you know, I would have planned it out. And this is not how any of that went. I never did that. And so what made me realize it was called is that I would just, the Lord would give me an unction to share on a subject, and it would just flow. And I would end up saying stuff and just go on these tangents, and it would just be so powerful. And the thing that I began to love about it, and I finally caught on to it, I didn't even know it was happening. It took me a minute to figure it out, that the thing about sharing the word that's so powerful, especially when it's really by the Holy Spirit, is that, man, you get to hear everything you're saying. So, man, you are absolutely, you're like, you're pumping yourself up beyond what you're doing for anybody else, man. You get to hear it all. You know, the Bible says, man, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Right. So the more you hear, you know, the more it builds your faith up. And so, man, I was hearing everything I was saying, and that's what made it powerful, because what I was saying wasn't anything that was planned. And so it was almost like the Holy Spirit was ministering to me through me while I was sharing with other people, and that was never my intention. And so I would end up so pumped up, man, so full of faith, and then to see how the thing that also surprised me that I never really saw before, and I'll be honest, I'd had Pastor Scales, I've heard him talk about it and heard, he talked about it around us and to you about, man, the joy of seeing people's lives changed.
Right.
And, you know, I had seen that before and been happy for people and whatnot, but not like this, man. I had some of the greatest joy, man, seeing some of these guys go completely from darkness to light. Because there were some guys.
Give me one example of a guy who was, and I think I know who you're going to bring up, but give me one example of a guy who was a tough case, you know, which is hard-headed, and nobody thought he would turn his heart towards God.
Okay, well, I'll give you, well, this guy was like more over time than more so like an immediate type of deal, which everybody is in development, but I got a little brother, man, named Jamie, and he was just young. I remember the day he came in the pod, man. I remember watching him come in the pod, and we used to have a joke, man, that we wanted everybody that came in the pod, we would tell the guards and mess with them, man, if they not young, then make them, they got to be white. We don't want them young, and we don't want them black. Man, young black dudes, man, just meant it was going to be drama. You know what I'm saying? The game, yeah. Man, you got to deal with all this, and you know. And so, man, when Jamie came in, he looked like the exact opposite of what we want. Because I used to pray. I started praying. I said, now, Lord, and I told Tim, and they thought it was amazing. That's why I think Tim told you, man, everything changed when I left, because I prayed. I said, watch, I'm finna pray. Because we went through a period in December of 2012, where I'm talking about, it's like half the Crips in Nashville came in our pod. So, yeah, the rest of it came straight to our pod. It was just, and it was fights, all, it was just drama. I remember that gap. And none of them wanted the Lord. None of them had fertile hearts at all. And when I say none of them, I mean almost none of them. And
okay.
And so from that point, man, I said, look, y'all, I said, watch, this ain't going to never happen again as long as I'm here. I said, I'm finna pray that the only way the Lord let folks like that come in, I don't care how bad they are, if they'll want the Lord, if they'll be willing to listen and come and hear this, man, and their heart be open to the Lord, to where they'll get saved and they tired, or then they can come. But all these ones like this, I'm praying they go to another pod. And, man, it never happened again like that. It never happened again. I mean, you know, in that jail, you're not going to get a bunch of Boy Scouts in jail. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. But, but I'm talking about guys who just, they with the craziness off the jump. You know what I'm saying? They, you know, you almost going to have, like, I'd have to watch myself, man, because some of them would almost take me out of character sometimes. And so I had a lot of chances to walk in love, where it ended up bringing a lot of people to the Bible study, them getting to see what I ended up doing. Because I would get to the point where I would want to fight guys because they just so stupid. You know what I'm saying? They just so, you know, disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? And you're not going to disrespect a man. And so, man, I remember watching Jamie come in, and I remember laying on my bunk. I was thinking, I watched him come in the pod. They just come in talking, just talking loud, singing some rap song, doing something stupid and just blatantly, outwardly ignorant. And he had dreads, you know, going down his back, and he had his pants hang almost down to his knees, and he just looked ridiculous, man. I said, oh, this. And I remember thinking, now, Lord, he either wants the Lord or something ain't right. You didn't hear my prayer. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm supposed to be in here, man. I prayed not to get guys like this. And so I remember looking at him, man. And so he ended up coming to the Bible study, man. And because what ended up happening, actually, honestly, Eric, is that, you know, in county jail, there is no structure. There's no job to go to. There are no activities. So you are in this room all day long. And so what ended up happening was, not only did I have, you know, the Bible study at night, I would have it during the day. And I had so many guys, man, that would wait for me to wake up to have Bible study. Because I had gotten a schedule. Man, I would, there was one guy named Man. I remember he was on the bunk across from me. And sometimes I'd roll over and open my eyes. And Man was really a hardcore dude. But he had a good heart. He had lived a lot of life, been through a lot. He'd been through federal penitentiary, state penitentiary. He had done a lot. He was a real, he was what they call a real G. Man was a real G. Nobody was finna mess with him. But his heart was right. And he came to the Bible study, man, and just the word just snatched his heart. And I would wake up, and Man would be sitting on the edge of his bed looking at me like, man, I'm waiting for you, brother Trey, to wake up, man, to get that good word, man. Man, I'm waiting on you. Man, I love that guy. You never got to meet him, but you would absolutely love him, man, because he made me think, man, I got kind of big messing with Man, and so we used to eat a lot, too. So, man, and so we'd have it during the day. We'd have it during the day. And Man was responsible, man, you know, because Man was, he was gang affiliated at one time. So he would make guys come to the Bible study. I mean, y'all come on over here, man, get this. You know what I'm saying? We'd just make them come. Because he didn't care at all. You know what I'm saying? Man was like, he had a lot of growing to do. Because, like, Man was like, shoot, if we got a problem, we just go to the bathroom right quick. That's all we got to do. He said, you got to talk with it. So, Man was really, I loved him, man, but the Lord really grabbed his heart, man. He had a love. He was hungry, man. Dude was one of the hungriest ones that I ever ran across in there. He was hungry.
Wow.
He was sitting on the word all day long. And so, man, I prayed. Man, I spent a lot of time with him, man. I really loved him. And so I ended up having it during the day. And that's when Jamie came, was during the day. Because at nighttime, he'd be out there gambling, doing whatever, you know, playing cards or whatever. But during the day, he came to Bible study, man. He would come and I would just see him listen. And, man, it kind of began to grab his heart. And then he ended up going through something, man. What happened was he came in there and they called him out. Some police had come to see him to debrief him. And they were trying to implicate him in a murder. And he said, you know, that's not even what he was in there for. This was getting added on top of. And so I saw him one day on his bunk, and he just looked, man, just distraught. And I just went over to him, you know, just by myself, and I said, man, what's going on? And he began to share a little bit with me. And I said, now, look, man, I don't know if you're telling the truth or not, but if you really didn't do it, man, God will make sure you get mercy in that. Because if you didn't do it, it's coming on you because you affiliated with wrong people and you shouldn't have been around no way. But God will give you mercy if you really didn't do it. And I gave him some scriptures and read with him and told him what to pray, and God did, man. They left him alone about that. And so we began to talk more one-on-one, even outside of the Bible. So I spent a lot of time in the Word and whatnot, man. And the Lord just really grabbed his heart, man. And you know, he had these dreads and all this stuff going. And I knew, I said, man, if the Lord really, man, grabbed him, he's going to cut all that mess off. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not speaking against anybody who has dreads or what. I just knew that was coming for him. You know, I knew the Lord was probably going to speak to him and have him do it. And he did. And, you know, he had a girlfriend at the time that he was messing with. And they had a kid together, or getting ready to have a kid together. And I said, man, you can't do like that. I said, you either got to marry her, man, or you got to leave her alone. You can't live. You know, I just gave him some instructions, man. I told him you got to leave your gang alone, and I told him you got to come to church. And he did all those things, man. We got out. He married her. He disassociated from his gang, and he went to church. And now continuing in that is another matter.
I remember you talking about him, and he was like, man, y'all got to make sure y'all hook up with this guy named Jamie. I'm like, okay, man. He said, yeah, Jamie, he's ready to serve the Lord. I'm like, oh, cool, cool. And, man, I hooked up with this dude, man. He had tattoos all over his face. I'm like, the dude Trey was talking about. The dude Trey was talking about serving the Lord. But one of the first things he said was, and you could tell that something powerful was going on in the prison, because he said, yeah, man, I hooked up with my brother Trey. And I told him I'll do whatever he tells me to do. And he told me to come to church. And just for somebody, you know, who's been out there on the streets like that, to be ready just to do whatever you tell them to do. So I knew the Lord had to do something to his heart, man, in the Bible studies was going on.
It did, man. And so, you know, I found so much joy in that, man, that I didn't even know it was possible to be that happy for another human being. Jamie brought me so much happiness, man, to see him. And he, you know, you're not all the way there. You have to continue in this stuff, man, or you can lose it. And in terms of walking in it, you have to continue in it. You have to stay around the right folks. You have to stay away from the wrong folks. You know, it's a walk. But, man, what I saw get birthed in him, man, it blessed me so. It brought a joy to my heart, man, that I had never really experienced before. You know, really being that happy for somebody, seeing what the Lord did in somebody else's life, and I had so many of those, man, that it was like a, you know, I heard Pastor Skill say he got addicted to it, and I could just see how, man, it was just thrilling for me. It was absolutely, it was my happiness, and because you don't have nothing else, and so, you know, I lost my life in that for a period of time. I got to where, man, you know, I would say stuff like, I don't even care when I get out. I would say just crazy.
I remember you first started the Bible study. It was like, it was almost like you was depressed, and then you had Bible study. And then somewhere in there, it was like, you wasn't depressed no more. You were just all the way in there doing God's will.
It was,
man,
exactly like that, Eric. Man, I remember the first night, what happened was, man, what made me really have a really different reverence and a thankfulness for the grace of God, his anointing, was one night, man, we had a Bible study that was just so tremendous, man. It was just powerful. And I was amped up afterwards, man. People got blessed by it. And, you know, like I said, I had put myself on a schedule where I'd have Bible study, then I'd stay up, do a lot of reading, read some books I had, spend time with the Lord, talk to him, pray, because it was the quietest time, you know, to about 2-3 in the morning, sometimes, a lot of times it's about 4, right before breakfast time, you know, to about 4 something in the morning. And then I would go to sleep and sleep all the way to the afternoon of the next day. And I remember, man, having this Bible study, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, after I'm waning down and just relaxing, man, it's like a spirit of depression came over me that was so heavy, and I felt so awful. I mean, I was so oppressed, man. I felt so sad, man. I had so many thoughts about my wife and my daughter, and they were, you know, the thoughts were overwhelming me, and I felt just immensely discouraged. And I remember having the thought, and usually it wouldn't even cross my mind, but I had the thought, I said, man, hold on. Man, 3-4 hours ago, I was on 10. What in the world is that, man? And the Lord began to share with me. He taught me, man, that being used by him and the anointing flowing, people's lives getting touched, and even you sharing, teaching something that really is true, is not necessarily indicative of how victoriously you walk with him yourself. And so I began to see, man, that it was going to take something more, even beyond that, man, for me to keep it where this stuff, because you're in a continual fight, you know, you're in a continual fight of faith, you know, to fight thoughts, especially when you're in that, because, you know, it feels like the devil has so much leverage because you don't have nothing, you're in jail, your family is without you, you do miss them, there's a lot of leverage that can be had, you don't know what people are thinking about you on the outside. He has a lot of leverage to bring a lot of thoughts to you that can really hurt you emotionally. And so you're in a continual fight. And the fight, you just absolutely just obliterate it when you're sharing the word and the anointing. So when you're not, you know, you have to really fight. And so, man, I learned, man, that I had to do a lot of speaking the word and speaking a lot of the stuff that I was telling those guys and preaching to myself, even when I wasn't talking to them. And what ended up happening was I would do that all the time. Man, I would walk around the pod during the time, and I would just quote the word and just encourage myself in the Lord. And I would pump myself up doing that, and then somebody would hear me and end up drawing me into a Bible study, and it would start a whole nother Bible. And that's how I began to walk where I didn't, you know, roller coaster as much as far as being on a high and then, you know, being real, real, real sad. And another thing that really helped me, too, was when the Lord had me get on the phone and start sharing the word, instead of getting on the phone and looking for comfort, you know, from your family. Because the phone and talking to people is what would make me sad. It's kind of, you know, it sounds counterintuitive because, you know, talking to them on one hand is comforting because you get to talk to your family. But, man, it just reminds you of the outside world, what you're missing, that you miss them, they miss you. And it can bring all this stuff to you. So I had to learn to bring the word to that phone so that, man, so that I didn't, because it would take me out of that zone. It would take me back into the wrong realm, into the wrong thing. And so it really helped me, man, to learn how to encourage myself in the Lord in the same way. Because I talked to myself just like I was talking to somebody else. Is what I learned to have to do. I talked to myself just like, I mean, it almost looked like I was crazy, but that's how wild I had to get with it for it to work, you know, to not be overcome by, man. It's heavy, man, when you ain't, you know, you just ain't seeing your daughter, man, because I went 10 months without seeing my daughter. And it was a long time for us, man. I never dreamed anything like that could happen. And so I had to really go crazy, man, encouraging myself and talking the word to myself. But doing that with other people, sharing it with other people is what lit me up to do it for myself. And so it was a blessing just all the way around, man. And then I just ended up losing my life in it. And I was telling a guy the other day, man, that's one of the things I miss about that you have to practice and purpose to have out here. Because once you get out here, you know, Jesus said, man, the cares of this world. And amongst other things, it can choke the word and make it unfruitful. You know all this stuff. You've learned it. You can say it. But it can still be choked and made to be where it's not fruitful. And, man, when you get out here, I lost all my cares. I mean, I got to the point where I could even lose the care about seeing my daughter. Not saying that I didn't care about seeing her, but I couldn't keep that care on me all the time and have any joy. If I woke up and lived and I want to see my daughter every day, I wouldn't have no joy. I'd be absolutely miserable. So I couldn't keep that care on me. But when you get out, you have all these cares that come back to you, not even sinful stuff, you know, just to, you know, for clothes and cars and just different things that you need in life and then things that you aspire to have. It's just different cares, and it can make the word unfruitful because your mind is on that stuff. and you end up kind of taking your life back in your own hands. And in there, man, I got to a point where I lost it. I just completely, I lost it. And that's a good place to be. It's a good place to be,
yeah.
Man.
Let me ask you this. What was going on as far as your case is concerned around this time? Was it just being still or was anything moving?
It was absolutely nothing. There was a lot of – that's another thing that the Lord had to help me get off of. Man, Jill, there's so many rumors in there, man. There's so many, well, this could happen. There's so many opinions. There's what they call jailhouse lawyers. Everybody knows how it's going to go, and – everybody got an opinion about what you're going to get. It's just so much. And so you could go on an emotional roller coaster. And I'm telling you, it's amazing how that news means so much to you when it shouldn't.
Hold on, Trey. Talk about when you, I think it was about a weekend, and you're like devastated, your mind going crazy, you're in jail. And talk about the rumor that you heard. While, I think you was in a Bible study yourself with Pastor Lou. Shout out to Pastor Lou. But talk about the rumor they were spreading then and what happened to you.
Well, let me tell you this. Okay, so the pod that I went in where I really started the Bible study and began to really minister and to really have peace, I got transferred to that pod from the first pod that I was in when I got to county jail. And so In that first pod, I was all about just getting out. And there were some brothers in there, man, that were Christian guys, man, and some of them were becoming Christian guys, and so, man, I was all about getting out, and I would just speak the word, and I use God's word only to the end of getting what I wanted, or I would speak about how I'm going to get mercy in this, and the judge is going to do this. I wasn't hearing nothing from God. I was just using scriptures and applying them to what I wanted, you know what I'm saying, which is dangerous to do. It can really discourage you towards God if you're doing that wrong. And so I did that, and everybody heard me, and I was bold with it. You know, I tried to be a mini Pastor Scales. I was real bold with it, man. So I get transferred to this other pod, and this is during a period before I start the Bible study. And there was one service that I loved to go to above all of them, and that was Pastor Lou. And I would encourage guys to go to that service, and I went to, because he was full of the Holy Ghost, man. And I went to his service, and there were guys from my case that were in my previous pod. And I went to this service one day, and as soon as I saw this one guy, there was a whole group of them, man, because actually, matter of fact, you know, I had come close with some guys before I left the first pod, man, because, you know, just sharing the word, how I was sharing it. It wasn't necessarily no Bible study, just sharing, you know, bits and nuggets. And they saw what they thought was my faith, and, you know, it encouraged them to have faith and all that. So they were really sad when I left. But when we saw each other at church, it was like a mini reunion every time. And so, man, when they saw me, man, they looked like they couldn't wait to see me. They told me, they said, man, hey, man, Rick and what you call them, man, they got out. These were guys on my case. They're on the same case as me. And one of them was my connect from California. And so they told me, man, he got out. They let him out today. They just came and let him out of the blue, which is exactly along the lines of what I have been speaking. we hadn't been to court or nothing, man. They just came and let them go. And, I mean, it really was like a miracle. And I said, I was like, you mean they're gone right now? And they was like, yeah, man. He said, man, they finna let all y'all go, man. They said, man, they letting y'all go, man. They doing it one by one. I was like, y'all telling me they gone? They said, look, man, they're gone. They came to get them, and they're gone. They were shocked and in tears, man. They're gone. And I'm talking about, man, and this is happening right as we walking in service. So, man, I am just everybody looking at me like, man, Trey, man, your face. Everybody's super encouraged, man. I'm talking about, man, I'm shocked. I'm like, man, but I'm thanking God, man. I'm just, cause I mean, I just know for sure, like, when I get back, man, so later on today, they let me out. They say they letting y'all out just a bit at a time and not letting y'all out at the same. But for them to get out, you got to understand, it wasn't possible for them to get out any other way. They hadn't made bond. They were on the same case as me. You ain't just getting out. And so for them to just come and have an order to release them all of a sudden meant the case had been thrown out. And I was like, oh, my God. So, man, I was absolutely just, I was on 10, man. I thought the Lord had come through. And man, I'm worshiping God in the service, and guys that know me are looking at me, and they're just happy and rejoicing, and just, they're just in awe, and they encouraged and stuff like that, man. So I can't wait to get back to the pod to call my mama and tell her what happened. I said, Mama, you ain't going to believe this. They got out, man. I'm getting ready to get out. I said, you got to call and find out what happened. Call my lawyer, tell him, let her get this rolling. And I said, because they're literally gone. I said, this was the first thing I heard that was actually, this was like a miracle. You don't understand? This was
right.
Like, this would be like winning the lottery. It's like, it was amazing, man, that they released them all of a sudden like that. And my mama's ecstatic over the phone. And I said, well, Mama, I'm going to call and see what's up, and I'll call you back in about an hour. And really, I called, so I said, I'm going to be calling you in a minute to come pick me up. So be looking out for my call. I said, you know, call my lawyer. I'm talking about, man, we are excited, man. I'm thankful to God, man. People are telling me congratulations, man. It is because the word is just going around. You know, this district attorney, maybe he, you know, done got fired or whatever, because, you know, our case has been, you know, because people are coming back from court. You know, people go to court every day. And man, everybody's just, you know, just, man, it's everybody's in awe of what's happened. And man, so I wait, man, an hour goes by, and, you know what I mean? Every time I see the guards move, I'm like, hey, you know, come on, come get me now. You got to be getting that word any minute now. So, man, they don't come, man. And so I call my mama. And when she picks up the phone, I could tell that something wasn't right. Because she said, Trey, I talked to your lawyer. And I said, what happened? I said, what's up? Because, I mean, you first of all, you still can't, you can't deny. I refuse to accept anything but an expectation. Because they're gone. If they gone, it means I got to be gone. There's no other two ways about it. They didn't even go get a deal or nothing. They just got released as if, you know, somebody being wrongfully in prison. And so it was, she said, well, Trey, what happened was, she said, man, you know, when they re-indicted you guys, because they did a superseding indictment, meaning they re-indicted everybody on the case, added new charges, added some new people to the case, because they had to go extradite some people from another, from other states, and they re-indicted everybody. And so when they re-indict you, it wipes out the previous indictment, as if your case has been dismissed, and it is being dismissed with another one replacing it that's worse. So we already knew that had happened. That wasn't any new news that there was a new indictment, which is, you know, it was the same case, just with some different charges, some added charges for some folks and new people on the case. We had already knew that happened, but she explained to me that, well, when they did the superseding indictment, they accidentally sent paperwork over there just regarding those two, that the case had been dismissed. So that's why they were released. But actually, they did release them. They changed clothes, went outside, but they went right back outside when they realized they got a call, and went back outside and got them before they could get off of the property, and brought them back into jail. Oh, man, when you talk about discouragement, man. Thought a miracle had happened, man. It crushed me, because I'm talking about, I'm having visions of seeing my daughter. This is a bright and sunny day. I'm having just visions of seeing my wife, and I'm just absolutely just
looking back on it. Do you account that to like the enemy just playing games with you, or do you just say it was a simple mistake that they made, or do you think it was more spiritual?
Well, I think it was both. I think it was a practical mistake. That's, you know, this is absolutely what it was. But on the spiritual side, it hadn't happened before. And I see how it could happen. Understanding, you know, how the mistake happened, I get it. But the spiritual side is that hadn't happened before. And so,
man,
you know,
we're out of time, man. One thing I always want to touch on, like, mass incarceration and the war on drugs. And I saw a clip, we're just going to have to talk about it tomorrow, but I saw a clip on, like, Facebook or something on my news feed where they mentioned it in the Oscars. Two brothers got an award for the Selma soundtrack or something like that. And they mentioned how many people were incarcerated now, and it's more than there was slavery. Or slaves, or something like that. So,
So we could definitely talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, but I'm going to try to end it right now. People are complaining that, which is probably already gone, but when they listen to it live, when the time runs out, if you're listening to it online, it cuts off. And if you listen to it by phone, you can still hear it. So, so man, tomorrow we'll get more in talking. If you got time, tomorrow?
Absolutely. We'll make time, man.
Cool, because this has just been great, man. It's just bringing back so many memories. It just feels like it was so long ago. That's the crazy thing about it. But we're talking about, what, 2 or 3 years ago, right?
That's it, man.
About three years ago.
3 years ago.
But, man, thanks for coming on, man. We'll try to pick it back up tomorrow. This is Incarcerated Number 5, Choose to Joy Broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. God bless. Bye-bye.